We will, are we on? 8:33 on the clock. We'll call the Board of Equalization meeting to order. The Open Meetings Act, for September 27, 2017. Open Meeting Act is on the east wall. Attendance by observation. Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Byers, and Tiemann, and Bauman will be gone all day. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove agenda as presented.
I would move to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion by Byers and second by Tiemann. Vote. Any 5-0 in favor with Bauman and no, somebody's got to switch Lytles there to
Bauman. One negative.
Yeah, there you go. They're absent. Yeah, Bauman and Lytle are not here. So a 5-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove the minutes of the previous meeting.
Move to approve the minutes of the previous meeting.
Second.
Motion by Byers and seconded by Tiemann. Vote. 5-0 in favor. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. And we have a agenda item just a little bit for yours. So, but seeing others, I know she's for the meeting later. Patty, I guess the next item there is approve or disapprove the county assessor's recommendation of the rejection of the homestead exemption for Daniel Mites. So, I know, Daniel, you were here before and requested to have your attorney back, and it looks like today it works, so we're working at that. Are we going to have this as a public hearing, or are we going to have them come up and...
Yeah, basically, because it would be taking evidence, okay. So I would suggest to the chair that Patty explain where we're at.
Okay.
You have some exhibits here. I would say you receive those, place them into evidence, and anybody that appears and testifies before the board, swear them in.
Swear them in. Yeah. And it won't be a public hearing, per se, because we didn't advertise
it that way. Mr. Mites and his attorney, and Patty, those are the people that present.
We'll have Patty explain a little bit about what is happening here and then where we're maybe at. Go ahead, Patty.
Okay, basically this is a homestead exemption application for Daniel Mites. And he has his temporary address is 1013 Carlisle Street, and it's in Block 52 of Beatrice Original. He is the owner of the residence. However, he marked that he did not reside at the residence. And so basically the qualifications for the homestead exemption are that you're required to own and occupy between January 1st and August 15th of every year. So he checked that he did not live there. He did some explanation with me, but at this point, I denied it. And then, from this point, we'll go from here to see what...
Okay. Couple questions there. So then right about in the middle of the page there, this form we have, it what you're saying is number two there. It says, do you currently occupy this resident? And then when he filled it out, he marked no. But then I've got a question number five there. It says, did you receive a homestead exemption last year on this property? And he did.
Right.
Okay. Now, come on up, and we'll swear you in just because this is...
Go ahead. These documents that you have circulated here, there's four pages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's have those as an exhibit.
As an exhibit, okay.
Yeah. And, Patty, if you could, just to set it up for Mr. Barber, what are... you already testified that the first one is the... homestead application Mr. Mice filled out.
Right.
Can you go through?
Excuse me, Roger. Before you mark a number on those exhibits, I have eight, and I've already numbered mine.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So you got.
Okay.
If you can start hers, nine. Maybe to keep them straight, start hers with nine.
Thank you.
Okay.
Great.
So, are you going to read me the forms?
Okay. So the first one is the form 458, which is the homestead exemption application. Don has the original there.
Nine. Okay.
The second page is the Department of Veterans Affairs giving me a letter for his homesteads indicating that he is a disabled veteran.
Ten.
458R is the notice of the rejection of homestead.
Eleven.
And then the last page, Mr. Mites wrote
his reason to ask for a hearing here.
And that was done in my office so that he used the notepad we had there, and that is Exhibit 12.
And that's the letter that he wrote to ask for this, basically, hearing. So.
Okay.
One thing I want to add to it was Section 5 that you brought up that last year said I wasn't allowed homestead exempt. Well, to clarify things, what happened was that I filed for one, and I had a meeting with Eric Thiemann over this matter. And somehow we came to an agreement that we reduced.
Yes, we're Dan, tax we need liability. To square you in because it's on mic and everything. So before you can go ahead and explain as soon as we're done, I'll swear both of you in at the same time. Do you raise your right? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Okay, now go ahead. Continue.
Okay, like I was saying, that I did apply, and I had a meeting with. The board with Mr. Thiemann, and if you remember, Ryan, we reduced it because of the fire damage.
That was at the equalization hearing.
Yeah.
That was on the valuation part of it, you mean, not so much whether it was a homestead exemption.
Not on the homestead on that one. That was at the, am I saying that right, the equalization mm-hmm. hearing, where the protest hearing, I'm sorry.
Protest hearing.
Yeah, protest.
Oh,
yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So with that understanding, you know, I want that clarified. And since then, I know different. So that's why we're here.
Okay. Go ahead. Yep.
And on that number five, it is marked that you received a homestead exemption last year.
Yes, it is.
It's marked that you did receive a homestead
exemption. On this page, number five down here, towards the – yeah, you did mark it that you received a homestead exemption last year. Yes.
Okay, my name is Terry Barber, and I'm a lawyer from Lincoln, and I'm here with Dan representing him this morning. And we're here asking that the decision and the notice he received that denied his homestead exemption be changed, and that it be allowed the statutes that govern these things. We have forms generated, I think exhibits. I prepared eight exhibits here this morning on behalf of Dan. My exhibit 1, 2, and 3 are the same as 9, 10, and 11. So to begin with, there's a provision for an exemption, a special exemption for disabled veterans. That's in 77-3506. Homestead is defined in 77-3502 as a residence that's both owned and occupied by the person that's making the application. Exhibit 9, it's been Dan's custom every year to file the form that requests or applies for the certification of his status and the application of a homestead exemption. That's what you've got in front of you is Exhibit 9. And he did that on June 30. Exhibit 10 that you have in front of you is the rejection or the notice of rejection of the homestead that's done on what's called the 458R form. And that was done on July 6th. At the time, you've got. Let me stop for a minute. Is Exhibit 10 the letter?
Veterans Affairs letter.
It's Exhibit 11 that would be the notice of rejection. Your Exhibit 10 is the when you have the exemption for a disabled veteran, you have to get a letter from the VA. That certifies what his status is, and that's what your Exhibit 10 is. I think that ordinarily everyone's been in agreement that 9/11 Ella is Dan's homestead, and has been for a number of years. I have an Exhibit 4 just informationally to give to you, which is a decision that Judge Schreiner made in May in which the city, for instance, was in agreement that that was Dan's homestead. So I would offer that just in support of the proposition that this has been the general understanding of the community with respect to 9/11 Ella. Now, I've prepared, I got this off the website of the Department of Revenue and have marked it as Exhibit 5. It's called an information guide that was issued in February of 2017, and it pertains to the Nebraska homestead exemption. The Department of Revenue and the Tax Commissioner in particular would be the next place that we would go if we're still unhappy after this morning. They make the protocols and the regulations that have to do with the homestead exemption. The first page of the information guide that they publish says that this guidance document is advisory, but it is binding on the Department of Revenue until it's amended. And it is the current publication I would represent to you for 2017. And on page 2, one of the things that it says in explaining the definition of homestead, it says that a homestead is the residence or the mobile home and up to 1 acre of land surrounding it that's actually occupied by a person who is the owner of record. So it's the same own and occupy provision.
Occupied. It says occupied.
It says occupied.
Occupied. Okay?
And it says that the property held in the name of an entity such as a corporation, partnership, or limited liability company will not qualify. The other information that it gives about a homestead is that it says in the event of a natural disaster, rendering the residence or the mobile home uninhabitable, the displaced applicant is still eligible if the applicant intends to rebuild or repair the homestead. Now, that's not in the statutes, and if you look at the regulations that the department has made, it's not part of the regulations. But it is in their information guide, and they do represent in this guide that this is binding on the department, and I expect it would be binding on the tax commissioner, and then flow down, and it's actually binding in the setting that we're in. So this is Exhibit 5, and I would offer that as well on behalf of Dan. I've got a couple of things marked as Exhibit 6 and 7. And the first of those is the Beatrice Fire and Rescue report of a fire that was at 9/11 Ella in September of 2014. It consists of 12 pages, and then I've got a copy of the state fire marshal also investigated the fire later in 2014. That's Exhibit 7. It's a 10-page report. But and I'd offer those on behalf of Mr. Mites as Exhibit 6 and 7.
The fire was in 2014.
That's correct.
Over 3 years ago.
That's right. That's right. Not quite to the day, but within a couple of weeks of 3 years ago.
And the fire is at 9/11 Ella.
Yes, and that's the property that's the subject of the application. Now, keeping in mind what the guidance document indicates is if it's the intent of the owner to rebuild or repair, then they still qualify for the homestead. I have Exhibit.
Is there any period of time in that regulation that they have to commit?
No.
So they could just say they're going to commit and wait 30 years and get a homestead exemption through that time?
Well, according to the way the document's written. Now, what I've marked as Exhibit 8 is the application that was made for building permit with the city to do the repairs and the rebuild on the roof and the damage was fairly extensive to the property. But I've marked as Exhibit 8 a copy of the permit application, and the payment receipt that went along with it, and then the building permit for doing the renovation on the place. And I would, it is a copy. It isn't certified, but it is a copy of, in fact, what was issued to Dan.
And what's the date on that?
And that is April 7, 2016.
Is there any time frame that is valid, the building permit?
I believe there is a time period. I don't, off the top of my head, know what that is, but it has been renewed a time or two since then. So
you're saying he has an active building permit that has been legally granted by the City of Beatrice?
We've had conversations back and forth about the extension of it, and I think
because the building permit's only good for 1 year, so yes. This one is expired. You're telling me under oath that another one has been granted?
I don't know.
No, and the answer is no.
Okay.
Right, Danny? You don't have an active.
Don't know.
What?
He don't know.
I ask you, do you have an active building permit that's legally binding from the City of Beatrice?
Well, the agreement was.
Yes or no, please.
No, that's not true. Like Mr. Burke said, we've been discussing this whole back and forth with the city. And the last time I heard was before Butcher left town, the city attorney said that he was satisfied that it wasn't going to collapse.
We're circling my question. I just need to know.
I'm trying to answer you.
No, it's yes or no, Mr. Mines. Please, we don't have all morning.
Please, when he's playing.
No, I just, yes.
Yes.
You do have an active building permit that's good. You're under oath, sir.
This one here says right now.
They never brought that issue up. City, so I assume that it's.
No, right down here in the print, it says, notice, this permit becomes null and void if work or construction authorized is not commenced within 180 days of issuance.
Right.
Well, they never rejected.
So but then you.
They're only good for
I'm
year.
Still working on it.
Well, 180 so, days is 6 months.
They have to commence construction
in 6 months.
When they get the permit issued. Within 180 days, but that's only good for a year, and that goes back to Mr. Byers' question: okay. Can these things go on forever? No, but again, that's not binding on this board. But it does go back to the whether or not he's actively doing this and
whether or not he has an active building permit.
Correct.
That's the question.
That was the question. Yeah.
Basically, the house is not inhabitable according to the city, so I don't live there according to their order that they posted. Now, we had an agreement along with this building permit that they was to take down all condemnation signs, which they failed to do. That's the big problem. How can I get assistance through the VA and get estimates for the VA loans and finances to complete this if they're in violation of the condemnation signs that they agreed to take down? By contract. So they're, from day one, they were in violation of the contract. So that's where the dispute is. But now, that's why we're in business. Well, that don't pertain to it because we're backing off on the condemnation. But it still hinders me from getting finances. So you want me to apply another one? Roger?
What?
If you think this is no good yet, and I'm still working on it, they never gave me a cease work order on this structure, the city, legal-wise. So I assume I'm still working on it. Does that answer your question?
Not really, but that's fine.
I'm trying to explain this ordeal with you.
You have an issue with the city. I understand that. But it's... To follow up with Mr. Byers' question, I just wanted to make sure they understood there's not an active building permit on the property.
Here's what I would say about that, Roger, and that is that is the only permit that's been issued. He did begin, I can testify that he did begin work on that. I don't think there's any question about that. If you brought somebody in from the building and safety department, that's what they would tell you. It's not complete. There hasn't been, to my knowledge,
issuance of another or an extension of this one. But the permit application, the payment, and the permit itself is offered for the purpose of indicating Mr. Mint's intention. He did start it. His intention continues. Whether there is an active building permit, I don't know whether that's germane. I think at some point, Mr. Byers, with your question, can this go on ad nauseum, so to speak? The answer to that is likely no, but I think until there's some change or some clarification from the tax commissioner, I think we're stuck with what we're stuck with, which is if it's his intention to go forward, then he does, under the current regulations, qualify. We're asking that he be qualified for 2017. That's the bottom line.
Well, and if we reject this application, you can appeal to the Tax Review Commission and then get a ruling from them on whether what we did is correct or incorrect.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a three-step process.
Eddie, got a question. What is the approximate amount that this, I mean, explain the homestead exemption a little bit, because it's not I call it an outlay of the county's funds. The state reimburses us. Explain that, and then approximate, if you have an idea of what funding or finances we're talking here.
Yeah, basically what it is that an owner has to own and occupy between January 1st and August 15th. In our office, we have recognized the fact that Mr. Mintz has tried to fix the property and made, you know, attempts. So, therefore, I did grant him exemption for, you know, I think it was probably the last 2 years. I think he's been on a homestead. We did lower his value of his home. His home is only worth $2,000. So the majority of the value that's in that property is in the land, which is approximately, I think, somewhere in eight. I don't have the, I think maybe Roger has the property record card. It's my understanding there's no utilities to it, and the permit has expired as of May 1st. As it is right now with Mr. Mintz checking no on that application, if I would send it in, the state would send it back to me and say, you know,
not allowed.
It's not allowed. So I guess, I think we're talking approximately about $189. For the whole, you know. So I guess for clarification, that's what it is. You're right. I don't know that there is anything in the regs that say that you can have three, four, or five, you know. I mean, a reasonable time, I think, is what would probably be. And I felt like with what we've done, we've given him a homestead for the last, I know, couple years. Now, I don't have an answer either as to how long this can continue. And so that's my take.
Eric?
On the last, if he was granted homestead the last 2 years, did he check no on those, on that application the last 2 years?
I don't know that you did.
Or do you know the answer to that, Dan?
You rejected?
No, Dan, if you were given homestead exemption the last 2 years, did you fill the form out the same way where
yes.
On line three it asks, are you currently reside? Oh, I'm sorry, I read the wrong one. Line two, do you currently occupy this residence? You checked no on this application. Did you fill it out that way the last 2 years or the 2 years that you
I
were?
I believe so. I believe so, because I was still under the influence of what the city placing those condemnation signs on it, and because it's fire, the arson.
I'd have to look them up. You may have had an explanation on there before. I'd have to look the last 2 years up that it was the fire, and we knew in the office that it had been a fire, and it's just like, you know, tornado or anything. There was a chance that he was going to go back to his home when it was fixed.
Well, my feeling is what once spurred me to have this meeting today is the denial. With my further investigation, that you don't have to be living in the structure to be homestead exempt. And what they told me was, like, for example, if it's medical, or if you're in the owner is in a nursing home situation, and there's no statute of limitation how long these people can be absent from residing in their homes to be qualified. And so with that, you know, you don't have to be a resident in your house to be still qualified for this.
Let me explain it a little bit, and there's some questions there, too. If you do not reside in there, on the homestead exemption, if you are in a nursing home, basically, okay, if you or your spouse are currently residing in a nursing home, please answer these questions. What date did you or your spouse enter the nursing home? Have the household furnishings been removed from the residence? Is the residence being currently occupied, leased, or rented by another person? And if yes, who is residing there? So there is some more questions down there on the nursing home part of it. So that's a lot of people will be in the hospital or whatever, and they go over to the nursing home to recoup, and then they end up back in their home. So that's the part on the nursing home part, you know. So that is definitely addressed in this form here. Your situation, not so much because of the fire.
It's making the same that you don't have to be a resident of the house. And because of this fire and the city condemning it and rejecting me to still stay in that house, I had no choice but to comply.
I do know there's no utilities to it. Now, the city has not told me it's condemned.
He just did. So
he did. Okay.
So it was condemned property. And
I guess it's kind of with the city, and I'm trying to do the best, but we've allowed you homestead exemption. At what point do we?
Well, it's all in military system.
And I guess.
Exemptions.
I don't know.
I just point out to the board, too, under the question, and I think Ms. Milligan referenced it, that Mr. Meitz did state that you don't have furnishings, you've removed the household goods from the house. That's on your form.
Well, my stuff is still in the house. It's ruined.
Okay. I just look at the
you answered here saying there are no furnishings in the house anymore, Dan.
Hey, pardon?
You said there are no furnishings in the house on your application.
What's left of them? I mean, depends upon your quality of furnishings because of the fire.
Yeah, and I think, too, that portion of the Form 458 that talks about furnishings and whether somebody else is renting and living there and so forth.
Those it says here, have the household furnishings been removed from your residence?
Yeah,
yes.
But what I'm saying is that those form questions are directed to the medical situations and the nursing home situations. That's how the questions got on the form in the first place.
Well, and actually it goes back to residency, whether you reside there. If you don't have any furnishings there, obviously they're not residing there.
It's an indication of the intent of somebody.
Residency, occupancy is statutorily the test.
Yes, and in the case of moving to a nursing home, for instance, it's evidence of that person's intentions as far as returning to their home.
Anything else you guys would like to comment on? Otherwise, we're going to have a discussion and vote.
Pertaining to that, it's my intent to see the building permit and trying to fix that house structure. My intent to be moving back into it once it's inspected, approved, and allow me to move back in once it's done. So what's your intent?
Gary?
Yeah. Dan, didn't straighten me out here. Before the fire, didn't you? You lived up at 1017 Carlisle already before the fire, didn't you?
Off and on, yeah. 30 years on. I've had it a number of years. And I'll say one, two, three. I think I had about three people rent it through. We're talking about 20 years ago that I've had it. No, 30 years. I was renting out once I lived on Diller, South 9th, and so forth. I got another apartment. But this is my residence that I claim.
Any more questions for him from anybody? Otherwise, we're going to go ahead and have a discussion as a board and vote on it. We'll have a motion and vote on it. So, or anything else you, either one of you, would sure like to comment on?
Please.
I think we're good.
You're good?
Thank you.
You have any questions?
I don't. And if anybody else does, or Patty does, or anybody, sure, here's your opportunity to ask. John?
Nope.
Thank you.
I'm ready to
make a motion. Eric's got a question.
Dan, I think this is going to come down to, do you live there? As far as household furnishings and stuff, I don't think you even had to answer those on this form because you or your spouse aren't in a nursing home. But I think it's going to come down to, do you live there?
Yeah.
Can you live there right now? And I know you fix stuff up. I don't think this is going to go your direction here today, just listening to this. But what I would say is Mr. Barber, I'm sure, is not here on his own time. For the amount of money on the taxes here, it may be better to pay the taxes instead of bringing the attorney and take your time and fix that property up. You know, invest your time in fixing that up so that you can get it, you know, livable again.
Right now, I got a medical condition. We won't know how it's going to turn out. And I'm under doctor's restrictions, very strict restrictions. That's why it's not really done. You know, I'm on a thread.
Well, and that's definitely not me telling you what to do, but that's just maybe a suggestion.
Well, you've had that discussion.
What I'm doing is because of the principal. You brought up this economic. Yeah, economics has a lot of things to do with it. That's why I went to try to go through the VA and, you know, assistance and everything else. But then the city's kind of screwed that up with their signs that they failed to take down as contract. And there's a dispute on that. It screws me up. You understand? Mm-hmm. So it's principle.
Well, we appreciate you going through the process here with us.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay, we're done. Yep, go ahead.
I'd like to move to approve the assessor's recommendation of the rejection of homestead exemption for Daniel Mines.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion by Byers and second by Thiemann. And that motion is, second by Jurgens. Jurgens, not Thiemann. Looking at Thiemann. And that motion is to, I want to read the motion again.
Well, I have to approve assessor's recommendation of rejection of the homestead exemption.
That is correct.
That's correct. Just wanted to make sure. Okay. Any more discussion? Gary?
My understanding from listening to Patty is that normally, like she said, if the way it's marked on here, that it needs to be rejected and then taken up to Turk to let Turk discuss it, I guess. That's the way I'm seeing
it. I would
it.
Concur with that.
Absolutely.
Just because of the way it's marked, no one here, that he's not living in there. And then you do have one more option available to you, and that is to take it up to Turk or whatever. But for the purposes of, I think, this board and that office, going by what we how it seems to be stated, that this should be rejected. So. Any more discussion?
The other thing is if this comes back or if this goes to Turk, we'll get that information back, I assume,
yes,
through Patty, so that we'll know if it is overturned that we were incorrect in this.
And that we were incorrect in going forward. If this ever happens again here, then we would know that we were wrong. So, I mean, that's something
I just
too,
think with the testimony that they take at Turk, you know, they will make some decisions based on further information.
Well, and I think what you did, you gave him some reasonable time to fix it up. I mean, most people, when their house is damaged by natural disaster or whatever, you're going to get in there, you're going to get it taken care of. As Mr. Byers said, 2014 is when this damage occurred. It's been 3 years. I think even an attorney can't argue that that's not reasonable. So I think that's, you know, and that's what Ms. Milligan looked at. And up until...
comment on that?
No.
No.
Nope.
So that's what you're basically looking at here. Okay.
Any more discussion from the board? If not, vote. 6-0 in favor of the motion to disapprove the homestead exemption. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we do have all those, we'll keep all those on file, all those exhibits.
Very good. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else for equalization? Nope. That took longer than we normally do, so we had a special situation. If not, we will end equalization at 9:09 on the clock.